Connected to CMN Network.
KFA FSO, good morning.
They gonna put me in the movies. Good morning. Sound a little popcorny, just getting underway.
Yes, sir, just rolling the sound.
Roger. Well, I mean, you're fine. I hear everything. Just can tell you're a little on the popcorny side, so there you go. Yeah, I got to do a field work today, which is to say I have to babysit and sit on my computer. I got a lot of computer work to do, so I can't afford to lose a body, so I'm going to go do the computer work remotely, do the babysitting.
Good morning, W8RCY. I no longer have a desk or a workstation in my living room. I had to dismantle everything to get my ceiling repaired. No fun. I've been doing that for the last 2 hours.
Well, based on the pictures I saw, not surprised. That's the only way they're going to be able to fix it. So, did they figure out, more importantly, where the water came from? Dakota?
Morning, Donald. You got a leaking roof?
Yeah, you could say that, even though I've got a unit above me. But the door wall stayed dry with Friday night, Saturday morning storms. Made it through all that, but the ceiling above the door wall buckled, and I've got about a 7x5 or maybe a little bit more break out, and then the water damage around that will probably come down with the storms coming up this week. And Sean, no, nobody has even been out here to look at it, and that's what even is more upsetting. I called them yesterday and maintenance never came out, nor has the contractor that originally dried up my door wall for me has been out. So all I've been doing, I've been up since 4, and all I've been doing is working on cleaning up my desk area, dismantling everything, getting all the wiring out of there, so on and so forth. And I just now took a break.
Well, it just seems weird to me that they would send somebody out to fix the drywall before they figure out where the leak's at. Seems like that'd be the first thing you do, is find the leak. Oh, well, what do I know?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, hopefully they get that situated, Donald. I know we've got a lot of rain in the forecast coming up. We were hanging out outside yesterday, and there's a mini lake between my neighbor and I on our side yard where it's all swaled out from where the water used to come into my yard. And we were skipping RC cars across it. It was so large, so I can relate to water problems.
Well, there's three key factors here. One is I'm not the only one that has the problem. Two, the building faces to the southwest, and 90% of our storms come in from the southwest, like these that are coming now. So the facade or elevation of the building takes a direct hit, and the fact that the building is 50 years old. And it's basically Hoover Dam breaking, and there's not enough fingers, thumbs, and toes to plug all the holes. I've been dealing with the problem for a long time, and like I said earlier, the door wall framing leaked originally. They got that under control, but I think when they sealed that up, I think that's what caused the leak above it between the door wall framing and my roof line to my apartment. That's where it came down at, right over the door wall itself. So, you just got to laugh at this point. There's no point in getting mad or angry, right? and I'm working with management, and management's working with me, and we just look at each other, and it's like, again, the building's 50 years old, and it's just in a bad location, but, you know, I'm thankful I have a roof over my head, though, that's for sure. Sean?
I think it'd be correct to say you have a partial roof over your head, so, until they get that fixed. I mean, if they just spackle it all up, then, you know, it's just going to start, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time before it, whether they just allow the water to come in and just keep working its way on the backside until it does this and then come fix it again. It's just silly. They got to figure out where that water's coming from. That's nuts. Oh, well. I guess you need your roof fixed, but we'll be so sure it ain't going to happen again. Anywho, I got to figure out where I'm going to get my Starbucks. I don't want to get it too early because I want it while I'm out at the location I'm going to. Might have to do a Big B's. There's a Big B's not far from where my stop is. Such decisions. This is first world problems, man. Okay, U4 is ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, U4 is ZYQ. Good morning, gentlemen. I don't want to interrupt your normal routine of driving to work and talking. Just got a question. I was listening to the FBI link repeaters, and Mount Clemens, I thought, was closest to me, but it's the quietest one, or one of the quiet ones, that I have to turn the volume up, but I'm on the 600 right now, and it's got a good signal, but the modulated volume is better. I'm not sure what's up or why that is for me, unless there's something between me and Mount Clemens that's deferring the volume loudness of it. Anyhow, back over, KE4GYQ. Want me to grab this one?
No, it's weird, because usually, at least from what I remember, I haven't paid much attention to it. Mount Clemens was always louder than the rest of them. The audio seemed hot. But I'll judge that when I get to Hall Road. And Sean, I had Bigby Black yesterday. I think that's some of the best coffee around. But what do I know? I'm not an aficionado. A connoisseur.
Yeah, I'll probably make it Bigby's. Interesting note. You know why they're called Big B's? Were you in the coffee clutches when they before they were called Big B's? Just answer that real quick before I go on.
I don't believe so. I've only known Big B as Big B.
Yeah, so they used to be called Beaners. And of course there was an objection from a particular ethnic community about being called Beaners. So they changed their name to Big B's, like the letter B. So it was still Beaners, but they were just called, they just, it was a big B on their sign then, and they called themselves the Big B's. So there's a little interesting tidbit for you. Anyhow, I always remember them fondly as Beaners. Ah, geez. And Joe, so I've never heard that. I've heard often the 2.6 getting complained to being too low, and as Dakota points out, usually the Mount Clemens is, you know, a little hot. But, you know, that's you know, you're listening to two different radios, and in fact, two different technicians, two different kinds of equipment. It's entirely possible. You know, if you go through all the repeaters in the system and you take great pains to, you know, make them all equal, you know, they'll all sound the same, but that's, you know, really when you're switching back and forth, you know, you'll see a difference. As I'm switching back and forth, I don't know if it's because of the AGC in this radio or what, but I hear a little different tonality, but I don't hear much difference in the audio level, so, you know, I don't know. It's almost the opposite, as Dakota pointed out. Most people say Mount Clemens is too hot, and it's the 2.6 that's low. So there you have it. I think it goes Donald, then Joe, right?
I'll take it. As far as signal, I'm talking through my All-Star node, so instead of RF, and I believe my signal's a little bit more clearer and maybe a little bit louder. And as far as coffee goes, I had a cell phone store at the area of 13 and Woodward, 13 and a half in Woodward, right a couple doors away from Red Coat Tavern. And they built a strip mall across the street from us, and they put in a Caribou coffee. And, oh, my God, that stuff, I didn't have any hair on my chest, so I started drinking that stuff. And I was in my, 15 years ago, I was probably, 40-something, I don't know. But anyways, yeah, that stuff, man, you drink one cup of that black coffee, and, you didn't need another cup of coffee for 2 days. Again, the company was Caribou, and I'm not even sure if they're still around. Joe, go ahead.
Yep. I don't drink coffee anymore since it gave me tachycardia back in the late 70s. I just stay away from caffeine. But I'm on the 600 right now. I'm going to, next time I come around, if we do, tell me if you hear any difference on the other one, the Mount Clemens. So throw it over to Sean, I think. Go ahead, Dakota.
Sean, I had no idea that's what Bigby used to be called, but that's a little tidbit I'll keep with me forever. That's actually hilarious that it even made it that far. I'm for sure there'll be some initial pushback. And, Joe, I just switched between Romeo and Richmond, and it's the same thing. They're just, there's different. They sound different. Richmond sounds more full. Romeo sounds louder. Granted, I am closer to Romeo, but I think, like Sean was saying, it's kind of the nature of the beast. They're all different technicians, different radios, different locations, maybe different antennas. So you're going to get a variation there. I mean, even when I talk on this bag radio versus my 705 at home, I sound completely different. So, but I'll verify once I get to Hall Road.
Okie dokie. Yeah, so how you're getting into it... I just want to keep us on point here. You're suggesting that there's a difference incoming to you. So, if we start looking at too many things at once, then, we lose sight of what we're trying to determine. How you're getting in is a whole nother thing, right? All right, well, I don't notice any problem. I will just say that. So, if anything, I know my 2.6 needs a little, I could afford to bring it up a little bit. There's a reason for that. And Phil and I were just talking about it the other day. Talked about how whenever he roams over to 2.6, everything seems low. And he's right. It's a little lower. So, I'm at my end post, the audio tap that I picked off. And it's just, I don't relish going up there and redoing the connections because it's on a Quantar. It's a little bit of a chore. You got to write a wild card table to tell it which audio path to use. And I just been putting my head in the sand and ignoring it for now years. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Now. W8RCY. I had just now switched over to RF, talking, through the 2.6. So if I sound any different, you'll know why. Joe, over to you.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, guys, what's very unusual is on the 600, you guys, I had an S9 signal. You guys were twice as loud as you are on this one, the 625, the Mount Clemens. So on the Mount Clemens, I'm getting a signal, receiving a signal at almost 50 over 9. So the signal is great, but the modulation on this one is half as much as on the 600, and I'm only getting the S9 on the 600. So that's really bizarre, the combination of two things. Like I'm saying, this one's a S50 over, rather,
and the modulated volume, the loudness, and my modulation setting, my volume setting, is at 10 o'clock. Over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, that I'm not sure. I'm assuming you don't have channel-specific settings in that radio. I'm not sure what you're on, but that is kind of weird that you're getting blasted by Mount Clemens and it's quieter than 2-6. I don't know. Sean will know better than I will, but like I said, once I get a little bit further south here, I can flip between the two and confirm if Mount Clemens seems quieter today or not.
Yep, that's what we do, get another independent verification. I don't hear it here. They both sound a little different tonality, but I don't hear any difference in level. So, and of course, the signal strength coming in is irrelevant. The only place that would ever come into play is if you're noisy. The noise could make it, could give you the impression of quieter or louder. But, but that's only if it's, like, noisy, I'm guessing, at S9. And that's 50 over 9, I'm guessing they're both full quieting. So you're just listening to audio. So once signal strength is, in this particular case, not relevant. There's a Tim Hortons. Nah. But I'm way ahead of schedule. These guys aren't supposed to be here for almost an hour. So maybe I have to go get breakfast. I think after me, it's Donald, right?
You, sir, are correct. It is I, and I'm still back on RF. I haven't switched back over to the node, but it's only one click on this radio, and I'm bouncing back and forth, and obviously the signal to the node is much clearer and much louder. But either way, I have no issues picking up at all on the Warren repeater, the closest one to me. I think it's even closer than the other network's Troy repeater by about half a mile or so. But between Detroit and Mount Clemens, I'm about the same distance either way. But, very minor difference on the receiving end, but noticeable enough to where I could tell you, without even looking at my radio, which frequency I'm on, at RF or on my node for sure. Joe, over to you, sir.
Okay, 4ZYQ, do we lose Donald and everybody else?
Did my Warren drop out?
I heard everything you said. I heard everything else, so I don't know what happened there.
Joe, if you can copy me, I handed it over to you. So if you didn't hear me, I don't know what happened. But it's you're up, Joe.
Okay, I moved over to the 600 again. I didn't hear you on the other one. It just went dead for me. And I don't think it's my radio or anything. But what it sounded like on the Mount Clemens one, which I'm not on now, obviously, I'm on the 600, it sounded like somebody on a mobile or even a base that their modulated volume, the mic gain, was turned down low. They had a good signal. Everybody had a good signal, but the modulated volume was down. But anyhow, not to belabor the topic. I just thought I'd throw that out for what it's worth. But you guys hopefully having a good day today before any storms come in tonight or tomorrow again. Over to Dakota, I believe, from KE4ZYQ.
Sounding a little light on that one, but I did hear what you said, and you said you are not experiencing the difference there. So, nor am I. So, you know, I don't know what's going on there, Joe. It's very strange, because I can't think of anything in your radio that would do that. I am at Big B's, and I've got 45 minutes before the guys are supposed to get to my site. So, I think I'm going to go get a coffee. I'm going to jump out here. I'll be right back. W8FU. Not even in the mood for coffee right now. I haven't even done anything. Like I said, I've been up for almost 3 hours now, and when I got up at 4 this morning, I just started, you know, dismantling my desk and workstation and where all my radios are and everything else because of the ceiling damage. So I don't know if they're going to come out today. They were supposed to be out yesterday. But if they don't get it fixed, I got to put tarps down and some water catching the things and so on and so forth. When it did collapse and it made a mess, unfortunately it missed my desk by inches. I had a little bit of drywall ceiling compound on the desk, but nothing hit my equipment, so that's all that matters, and the desk was not damaged. You could just, you know, brush it off, dust it off kind of stuff, but it's too close for comfort, and so I am now dismantling everything, and I've got my big box radio is down, so I'm going to be on HTs only, and if I sound funny over the next whatever how long this takes, you'll know why. Go back to you and then over to Dakota while Sean's getting a coffee.
Yep, can you force me like you? I think you passed it to me from what you said. I'm still waking up. I apologize. Well, I'm back on the 600. I don't think I sound any different to any of you on either one. So, but guys, it's good to talk with you, see what's new and going on, and wish you the best of days, daytime work, and travels back home, and everything go good. I think it goes over to Dakota till Sean gets back.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's only Tuesday, so it's going to be... It seems like it's going to drag, and I'm not looking forward to that, but it is what it is. The weather's starting to break, is all that matters. I was outside yesterday for, I don't know, 3.5 hours from the time I got home until it was like time to get the kids ready for bed. So I look forward to those nights again. You know, it gives me some motivation to get through the day, but checking the forecast, there's all kinds of crap coming in the summer. But yeah, no, you guys sound fine. I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, that's the fun of radio is making sure your stuff's working. And I think you guys got it handled. So, should be okay. I'll leave some space, see if Sean's here. And if not, Don will pick it up.
Alrighty then.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know what happened since I signed to get coffee. They wouldn't let me in the lobby, so I have to go get in the car and find their drive-thru. After 7 o'clock, they don't open their lobby? That's weird. I know Tim Hortons, you know, between you and me, in our neighborhood, I think their first hour, their lobby is closed. I had to pick up Timbits one time for the guys at Enterprise and ended up doing that. But, yeah, most places, I know Starbucks, when they open across the street from me, the whole place is open, you know, lobby and, of course, obviously the drive-thru. But, yeah, that's kind of funny. And Dunkin', I can't remember the last time I've had a Dunkin' coffee or even been to a Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast. I remember the one in St. Clair Shores at 9 Mile and Harper, and I used to commute from 9 and Harper out to 9 Mile and Ryan where the tech center is for Chrysler at one point. And I used to go in there and have coffee and an apple fritter in the morning before I transferred by bus out that way because I was riding the bus for a while there to save money and stuff and so on and so forth. But, yeah. You got me on that one. Dakota, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Joe, did you clear? I thought that was the rotation, sorry.
Okay, E4ZYQ, I did clear, but I have a question that came to mind. And this is not a guy question, but forgive me. Do you guys, any of you, have you bought any hex-clad frying pans that you use on top of your stove? Because I got a pan, two of them, that don't have good surfaces on them, and they need to be thrown out. I need to get some other ones. So I don't know if anybody's ever bought any of those hex-clad, non-stick, guaranteed for life pans, cooking pans for on top. Anyhow, I'll clear after you hear an answer, if any. KE4ZYQ, have a good day.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
No, they're not worth it. I did all the research a year ago. Ended up getting the green pen with the ceramic coated on the inside, stainless on the outside. So that would be my recommendation. It's like $700 for the set, depending on which set you get, and we're super happy with it. So there's my 2 cents. Approaching my destination here too. I'm a little bit behind schedule. Sean, I finally grounded my mask yesterday with that break in the weather, so I can sleep a little bit better. And then I got my electrician buddy on the hunt for some 10 or 12 gauge ground wire so I can put that arrestor. The arrestor is there, but it's not grounded. So I'll feel a lot better once that's all done. And then I still got to get a cable for that moto. I actually probably need to get it to you. I don't think I have a PC with the other stuff. But yeah. Things are coming together. All you need is a little bit of nice weather.
All right, yeah, we got to get the transmitter to me. Get that handed off to me so that I can get that thing dialed down and you can get it back in service. Shouldn't take me but a minute. I know that's why you say you want the cable, but if we want to just do a quick thing, I can do it that way. So I'll be in here for a bit anyhow, if you want to circle back and comment on that. Don't. Okay, well, for Joe, I've never even heard of the brand, and I just buy simple Teflon-coated stuff because my days of major cooking for families and kids and everything else went out the window 30 years ago when I got divorced. So I keep my life simple as far as cookware. And I'm going to bow out because of all this talk with coffee. I'm just going to make myself a pot of coffee and, you know, just basic. That's it. I'm not doing Starbucks or anything today. I got too much to do here. So I'm going to bow out. So, gentlemen, pleasure talking to the three of you, as always. And everybody have a great day. Sean, you're going to be on the road, so you should have safe travels throughout the day and nice weather. And all the best to everybody. While I do some more work in my living room. Everybody have a great day. W8RCY. We'll be monitoring, listening, something on an HT somewhere.
Alright, I guess that's me. Yeah, Sean, you know what? I don't know what your schedule's like this week, but I'll grab it tonight and throw it in the truck. That way I have it at least, so if we can cross paths, I'll get it to you. But yeah, get that thing back in the air. I still haven't figured out a proper rack or anything of the sort. We gotta figure that out. I have square tubing, like some, I think it's 1 inch, half inch, something like that, 1 inch. I could probably cut up a nice little bracket just to hold it so they're separated and in the air, and then stick a fan on the back. But you know, I'll figure that out later. But yeah, I think you're right. I think once we get that thing turned down a bit, the fact that two AV cabinet vent fans weren't able to cool it, it's probably cranked up.
I'm sure it is, because I didn't go to any, I didn't look at it at all. I should have thought of that. That's on me. All right, anyhow, I just pulled up to my site here and my generator's running. I'm hoping it's just the regular weekly test, but that's going to make it impossible for the reason I'm out here. Can't be on generator power. So I got to go investigate here. Catch everybody. W8RQ.
Yep, good timing. I'm back into my spot as we speak, so everyone have a good day, and I'll catch you guys later.
To CMN Network.
KCAKJL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, KCKJ.
Yeah, good morning, W8SU. I got a babysitting job that's going to have me near my radio all day.
In anticipation of the weather?
No, I'm having manual transfer switches installed at all of my sites, so that should the premise generator fail, I can roll up my 50K portable and keep things running.
Aye. And you got to check this on all the sites or just one specific?
All the sites that we put in back in 0405, because of the age. In fact, the site I'm doing right now, the generator did fail, so it's new. But the rest of my sites, the generators, they've been cranking for 20 years, so you never know. So I got a portable and manual transfer switch, and I'll slowly start swapping them all out as time goes on a scheduled basis and all that stuff. But putting in these MTSs allows me the peace of mind to know that if I have a failure, I've got a 50K I can roll up and keep things running until I get things resolved. And I got 5 new sites, and I'll eventually do those. But those sites were put in 9 years ago, so not as these are big industrial grade generators, and they generally last decades. So I'm not as in a rush to get those last ones, but these ones that have been around kicking for 20 years, I just feel a lot more comfortable with the knowing that I can back up my backup.
Oh, absolutely! You got to make everything, make sure, like you said, your backups are backing up the backups that need to be backed up.
Well, now wait, back up. It's when we say we harden sites, that's what we're talking about. It's not just about having, my whole thing runs on a DC plant, and so the AC is just charging the DC plant. So, when I have a failure, I have a DC plant in there that runs for quite a while, and then the generator that kicks in, and that runs, and then I got a backup generator for the generator, so I've got like multiple levels of redundancy. We can't afford to have an outage, so when we harden sites, we harden sites.
Oh, yeah, that's how my central office works. Thank you.
also you got your generators, you got your batteries, and yet everything runs off of, what'd you say, everything runs off of DC, and the AC just charges the DC. So if the AC goes down, you still got the DC, and that holds on until the generator kicks in, and then it migrates over, right?
I'm sorry, Tom. Give me a minute. I just had an emergency email pop up. I got to deal with, get an answer out. So I'll be back. So we get a few.
No problem, KCKGO. Okay, Joe, here you good. Alright, now you're breaking up a little bit there. You might want to stand in one spot. Try again, KCK Joe.
I am currently on in a school bus, so it's pretty much a tin can, which is acts as a signal blocker. But did I sound good at first?
Yeah, you didn't sound too bad. What's your call sign again?
My call sign is KEAFLY.
K-E-8-F-L-Y, Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee. Gotcha. The name here is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Call signs Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Coming off of the Central Michigan Flint Tower.
Yes, Central Michigan Tower, not bad. I can't believe I am connected to this tower from a UV5R with like a 10-inch width from like India. I'm not sure. So, I'm small with antenna. On a 5-watt UV5R, in a giant tin can, pretty much, and I'm somehow still hitting the repeater router.
Yeah, you're bouncing in and out, but not too bad. All right, I gotta get inside to my job. I think you should be in school, shouldn't you? Unless you're showing friends. Hello to your friends if you are. All right, I'll be back in a bit. 7-3 for now, KCA. KJO.
Connected to CMN Network.
Still in here, Tom? W8FU.
W8BPA. Marble. Monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-D-D.
N-A-W-R-O.
I'll be right back and talking on my phone app. I want to check in it. I'll call you right back.
Clear.
Okay, I'm back. I found a really good phone app. It was $8, and I'm using it. And I was just chatting with Sean about it. Radio something. I'll give you the name of it. This thing is worth it.
So you mean for the Hoyt?
No, it turns your cell phone into a radio, and it's got push to talk. How do I sound? How about a radio check? Let's do that. Let's get people mad. How about a radio check?
Your signal check is very good. I didn't even know you were on something alternative. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's basically an all-star node. Let me get you the name of this thing. So, you know, because Sean was promoting the heck out of it when we were driving back, because I was having a hard time hitting repeaters, and I was using the ground wire. You know, the Star 99 and the pound was kind of a pain in the butt. And basically, my frickin' cell phone is an all-star node right now, so which means that's how I'm talking. This thing's pretty frickin' cool for $8.
Yeah, I'm in. That sounds good. Let me know later when it's safe to do so.
It's safe to do so now. It's repeater phone. That's the name of the app. Are you in the Apple ecosystem, or are you on somebody else's?
I am Apple. I am iPhone.
Yeah, this thing is cool. It's called repeater phone. I mean, of course, you know, the best one is ClearNode, but that's like $400 or $500. And then you got an actual hotspot that does digital analog, blah, blah, blah. That's by far, that's the top of the line. You know, nobody makes anything better. But just for having, you know, this with you, you can go.
For the M1TE.
Okay, now, see, it's also duplex. Who was the M1KE? Was that KFAS, Dave, was that you? Say something, Dave. I'm holding a button down.
Yep, it's duplex.
Oh, my God. And it's duplex. Okay. I'm impressed. Tim, go to you.
So what are we talking? No doubling? Is that it? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, just the audio mixes. Audio mixes, so you know, I can't hear Wally until I unsee, but you know, he can talk over me right now, for example.
And when I'm talking, Tim, go ahead and say a number, and while I'm talking, go ahead and talk on top of me and just say a number, and I'll tell you what the number is while I'm sitting here chatting away. The MKE thing, I saw that, I'm not a big fan. I'll stick with the cell phone for doing that kind of things, and now I got the bug for a ClearNode.
I'm not going to say a number. I'm going to say Wally loves WinLink.
Okay, you have to say it while I'm talking. Go ahead and key up now and say Wally loves something else. I'm still talking, so go ahead and key on top
Wally
of me.
Wally loves Bofangs.
Okay, you said Wally loves Bofangs, and I never let go. So this is really weird. So, yeah, no doubling. Okay, Dave, why did you keep this a secret? I blame you.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with the voice phones, right? But if you are on a hams over IP, it's full duplex. And then if you talk, you know, you can have, like, a two-way or whatever. You know, somebody on the repeater can say something while you're talking.
Okay, yeah, and then this will also go into the Mac repeater as well, Tim. $8.
Okay, somebody must have recommended this before, because guess what? It's already on my phone. I must have bought it, and it's just not configured.
So I'll do that now. Go ahead, Dave.
So Wally, did you configure yours so that it's a one of your unused all-star node numbers? Because you can do that as well. I forgot how to do it, but there's a way where you can like log in with your all-star credentials with your, you know, your node. You have your node, and you know, your node has a password, and you can actually make it look like you are one of your all-star nodes.
I'm not sure, but when I went there, which under setup, I hit all-star, and then I logged in with my call sign and my password. That's how I'm in. But I did see what you were talking about. One of them said node. Maybe I should try that. But if that's the case, my node would have to be live, right?
No, your node, it doesn't even have to be like, you don't even have to have a Pi hooked up to it or anything. You are basically becoming that node number. So the advantages to that is there are some systems out there, one of them that comes to mind is East Coast Reflector. There are some systems that will not allow what they call web transceiver. Because by default, what repeater phone is doing is it's becoming a web transceiver. And recall going into the All-Star, what do you call it, the node configuration, like a little checkbox for web transceiver. So if the nodes are blocking web transceiver, you can't get in through this way, but you can configure it as, as a node and get in that way. So it's just an advanced thing. You don't have to do it right now, but something to look into later.
Okay, well, then I'll just try to get into the East Coast Reflector in a little bit and see if it lets me. Oh, no, I'll play with it. You know me. I'm kind of like you. I can't leave well enough alone. Good is good. You know, I'm not one of those guys that if it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm one of those guys, if it's working, we can make it better. Tim?
All right, I copy all that, and I'm going to jump on this right now. So I'll jump out for a minute, but I'll be listening. NAWRO will be clear, but listening. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, the repeater phone was what I was using when I went to England. That, you know, I was in London that one time. I was walking. It was like five in the afternoon over there. I think it was probably later over here. And I remember walking across the Thames. I was talking to you guys.
Yeah, this is a heck of a lot easier than Star 99. Well, what got me kind of excited about it was, you know, I was coming back from Muskegon last week, and the weather was terrible. Visibility is quarter mile, half a mile, you know what I'm saying? And so I was talking with Sean, and, you know, we'd lose him, connect with him, lose him, connect with him, lose with him, connect with him. And he just said, well, just use the All-Star. And so I went to GroundWire. Well, I didn't want to take my eyes off the road because, you know, it's Star 99 pounds, Star 99 pounds, Star 99 pounds. It got, you know, it got to be kind of I figured I was taking too much of a risk with this much visibility. And, you know, usually when you got that much rain and that much visibility, you got some people that are driving 70 and cutting you off, and you got other people that are driving 30. So I just, I just monitored all the traffic, but I couldn't say anything. So, but now that all I can do is put on my little headset and hit a red button on the phone, okay, that I would do, because then you could just hold it and use it that way. So this makes it a lot more efficient. So I'm pretty impressed with it. All right, I'm going to look into this node thing. You guys have a good day. Tim, I did see your email. Thank you. All is good there. So we're moving forward on that angle. Talk to you guys all later. KF8S, figure it out. Or finish it out, I'm sorry. W8BD.
Alrighty, yeah, have fun. Let me know if you get stuck. Kia Theta.
I know how to find you. Your speed dial, you're on the front screen anyways. All right, later, WB.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Radio check.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Did you get your ears lowered in a WRO?
I'm actually in here right now waiting.
Sean was looking for you a little bit there on P25 and DMR a while back.
Okay, I'll give him a call. I don't get either one of those on, which is not like me.
Clear, WRO. Say hi to Matt and Pete.
There's only one of them here right now. The other one's gone. Maybe he's at lunch or something.
Chair by the window is Matt, and the second chair is Pete.
Okay, then Matt's the only one here.
Chat him up about good old days. He's the boss. He runs good old days now, in case we are going to be there. I told him this morning. We might. I don't know. It's up to the chief.
Okay. Did you get the iPhone working? It's amazing. Crystal freaking clear.
No, that's Project 2 for the day. I'm working on Meshtastics now. I got sucked into that, being lonely one, so I want to get that up in a window and working.
Yeah, I swallowed that pill for a while. I gave up on it. Marianne's with me. When we get out of here, we're going to buzz down to that place by the post office and have lunch. WOTV.
All righty. I'll bow out today because I got something going on. But, you know, I got to get back there. That place, I got to put that on our list. I haven't taken Gina there yet, and that's they do have some good sandwiches there. I'll give you that.
I like it because it's unique. That's what I like about it. WOTV.
NHWRO, and it's helping the clientele they serve there. That's works they're doing there. So I'll support that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fun. This thing's amazing. I see a fire truck going through town. Sean, you're around. WAFPAWAB.
I'll sign now, too, but you won't believe it. They're literally going out to get a cat out of a tree. For real.
That explains the ladder truck.
Have a good one, Wally. I'll sign now. N8WRO clear. Talk later.
I was going to tease you, Tim. Do they really need to run lights and sirens?
You know, she really should have told them normal traffic. I didn't realize they're doing that. Well, it's not my deal. But, yeah, she should have said normal traffic on that call.
I'm just teasing you. This thing is so misleading, dude. It's like an intercom. You have to be careful. You forget you're on the radio. W8B.
Again, outstanding signal, but, you know, we know why. N8WRO, clear, but I'll be listening.
W8B. WAV.
Sitting here trying to stave off a pierogi coma.
Next time you're up here in Richmond, I have to take you to this place by the post office. I'll send you a picture. Just had a pastrami sandwich that was to die for. And Sean, on Tuesdays, you get 25% off because you're old. Because they gave me 25% off because I'm old.
Well, I think I'm going to be in Armada all day tomorrow, so I'll be close.
There's a lot of fine establishments in Armada as well.
Roger. Well, we'll see. Got to talk to these guys. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow?
I'm not sure. This morning I heard the severe weather isn't supposed to come till late tonight. We're right on the borderline of level 2, which is you south of 696, level 1 north of 696. So, but like everything else, if they predicted it doesn't happen, it's when they don't, that's when you got to worry.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Roger. Well, if it's going to be stormy tomorrow, they probably will hold off on doing next site. Holding out here. There's a little drizzle, but it's holding out. They're moving along pretty good. They have to do a little different running of things over here. But they're moving pretty dang good. Good crew. I like this electrics.
Yeah, that's good. So you mean to tell me they're a little scared to stand next to a 150-foot tower when it's lightning outside? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had a little discussion about that. I was talking to the guys earlier, and he said, yeah, I never understood all this grounding. Because, you know, the grounding over here is outrageous. I said, oh, trust me. You have no idea how involved this grounding is. But I have to say that after 36 years here and 46 in the biz, plus, I've seen enough to know that this grounding works. it can't be a coincidence.
No, yeah. All right.
We're stepping out. Mrs. Main is sitting here staring at me. Time to go, time to go. So I'm talking on my newfounded app. I love this thing. God, this is nice.
All right. Yeah, puts you on anytime you need, puts you on. All right. Hello to Maid Marian. Say hello to the band of merry men. And we'll catch you guys later. WAFU.
Catch you a little later. I'll send you a picture of the sandwich. WAFU.
WAFU. WARCY. An update on the weather for tomorrow if you want it. Yeah, what's it looking like? Just updated within the last 15 minutes. Thunderstorms tomorrow morning giving way to periods of light rain in the afternoon. Morning high 59 with temps falling to near 45. Winds out of the west-southwest at 10 to 20. Chance of rain 100%.
Roger. All right. Well, I'll have to see what they want to do. So it's up to them. They knocked one site out yesterday pretty quickly. This one here is threw a little bit of a curveball at them. And I think I've already prepared them that there'll be a little bit of a curveball at the next site as well. So we'll see what they decide. I'm sure they're getting a forecast from their main office as well. Thank you for that.
Not a problem. The crews are here. There are a couple of apartments down from where I'm at. They might be able to get to me today, if not tomorrow morning first thing, but I'm prepared. I went over to Dollar General and I picked up a couple of things to collect water and cover things from not getting wet by water if anything happens tonight. So, okie dokie. Take it easy. Stay awake, stay alert, and hope your afternoon goes well. Catch up with you later, W8RCY.
All righty. Again, thanks for reporting. Back to work. Sitting here trying to knock out a bunch of paperwork that I've had piling up on my computer. So I'm going to get back to it. W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Is there BTL clear?
KF8SZH.
KFAFJH.
KFAFJH, this is KFAFQN.
Is that KFAF2S? This is KFAFZH.
Roger, copy, yes. KFAFQN, you're right. And, is it KFAFQH? Sorry.
That's all right. It's KF8FZH.
I have to say it again. Can you say it phonetically? It's just those last two characters that I'm getting wrong. KFASQN. I was asking, can you say your call sign phonetically? Because those last two characters I didn't get a good copy on.
Yeah, copy that. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Foxtrot Zulu Hotel.
KF8FZH, Roger. I haven't heard you on this repeater. Did you just get your license, or have you been on here before?
No, I've never been on. I've dabbled with the GMRS side a little bit, but I just got my ham call to the ham technician the other day. So, yeah, I'm just kind of messing around with it, seeing what works, you know, for my area. So this is just one of them I tuned in.
All right, that's kind of what I thought. I'm new as well. I got my license on January 22nd, and, yeah, I'm a tech as well. But yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Yeah, that's good, because I'm only on like a 10-watt handheld. So you think you're going to go for your general anytime soon? I think I've been looking at the questions a little bit, but I'm just kind of seeing what I like first before I jump back into it.
Yeah, I'll really get my generals and stuff. I'm looking at a P90 once I get my generals, but I cannot study for long periods of time. That's one thing I cannot do. And generals is a little harder, but I like ATAP, so I'm on I have the ARRL book. I'm on page 7 out of 7. I think that's what it is, or how to pronounce it, but chapter 7, I'm on that, but, yeah, I'm looking to get my generals. What about you?
Yeah, I just used the handstudy.org. I ended up paying for the app on my phone, and that made it really easy and helpful with, you know, logical explanations and stuff like that. But, yeah, I might start looking at it again if I want to get my general. I'm not sure yet, though. I'll probably go for it.
I used the ham study too to do my test last time. Yeah, I have a book I got from the library about ham radio, and it's got this radio I thought was kind of cool on it. It's the IC or the ICOM 705. It's triple band, so it's got triple mode. You say it's HF, VHF, and UHF, and it's got different modes like LSB, upper side band, and FM and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's cool. I haven't gotten much into the FM much. I haven't looked into it too much, but it's definitely interesting. One of the guys I know, he's gotten a few contacts, and I know he has a node, and he can talk on, like, the East Coast reflector and stuff, so I might end up getting, like, a all-star node or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I'm normally at the East Coast Reflector. I mean, you can join the Zoom room with check-in and text check-in if you want to do next, if you haven't heard. If you have any questions, I know Dick, his call sign is WP2CBQ. He is the godfather of the East Coast Reflector, or he created it. And if you need any help with that, you can just ask them. That's over, at the ECR Zoom room. So just go to eastcoastreflector.com and you click Zoom and go on that.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that, I might have to check that out. Definitely interesting. But, well, I just want to throw my call sign out, see if I can get anything. But probably clear out of here. KF8FZH, clear.
Alright, well, it's nice meeting a new ham as well. And you have a good rest of your day. 73 to you, and this is KF8FQN and clear.
Breaker, breaker.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
K8TMR.
There's a call I haven't heard in a while. How you doing, man?
Good. I wasn't sure if that was you or not. I caught the tail end. I'm at work, so figured I'd just call out. How you been feeling? Any better?
And you know what's crazy, dude? I finally started feeling better, like, last 2 days, maybe last, I don't know, last Friday I finally was like, hey, I feel like me again. I had a runny nose and stuffy all day today, and now I got a headache. And it's like, what the hell?
Wondering if it's just the weather, because I'm the same way. And I think Amber's the same, too. We both woke up kind of stuffed up, and she's had a headache for the last probably week. All congested and sinuses, but I don't know if it's the weather or if it's just cold going around.
Well, I would like to think it's not more since that would be going on week 3 for me, but who the hell knows? That was my thought initially too. Like, God, do I have some kind of allergy or something? I don't know what I, you know, what would be in the air right now. But that's the only thing I can think of is I felt fine yesterday and then came home at like 5 o'clock, put on shorts and a t-shirt, flip-flops, and was outside pretty much until 8:30. We were screwing around. I'm sure you've seen the lake next to my house. We were water skipping my big RC truck across that, just kind of hanging out, drinking beers. And then I woke up this morning, I'm like, I can't breathe.
Yeah, I would say as sick as you were, you probably got all your immunity built up. It's probably just allergies being outside. No, I haven't seen the lake by your house. Is it back to being flooded?
Well, my yard's dry as a bone because of all the work that I did, but the side yard on the north side where the Red Ranch is just literally, like, there's points where it's above my knee, and then it kind of just spans, sprawls, like, it's bad. Like, to the point where my RC truck wasn't making it across all the way full throttle.
Oh, that's so good. Keep the kids out of that. Is that where you did the pipe for your neighbor's, what was it, pump pump?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit nervous about that because so where it discharges, it discharges into like a tiny basin, right? And we've had so much rain and snowmelt that basin's overflowing. The ditch where it's supposed to overflow into is overflowing. And it's all just coming out the overflow right there where it used to discharge anyway. And it's, I mean, dude, I can sit outside of my driveway every 30 seconds. I think it's pumping, you know, 2 to 4 gallons of water out. So it's pretty hard for that to dry up when her sump pump's just running constantly.
Yeah, that's what I kind of get some of that on the one side of my driveway where the sump pumps are. Lost my train of thought. Forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It is what it is, and, you know, it, right now is the worst of the worst. We've gotten rain, snow melt, ground's still frozen. So, I'm fine with it. Like, my yard's dry, her yard's dry, it's just this side yard, and all I'm going to do this summer is probably swale it so it contains it a little bit better, and it is what it is. There's just no way around it. It's a low spot in the area. Lapeer County sucks and won't cut ditches in.
Oh, they won't do any ditches along there behind all those houses?
Just off Shoemaker, there's no ditches. And they said that the if they were to put ditches in, it's for the road, not the residents.
I'm trying to think. Aren't there, don't they have ditches on the north side of Dryden?
Dryden has ditches, and I think, yeah, the north side of, I think Shoemaker does, actually. So I don't know why my section doesn't have any, but they won't do anything about it until I figure out how to get the water to go towards their road, and then it's their problem.
Yeah, probably even if they do, even the ditches on my side, they overflow and they're starting to wash out the road. It's pretty bad on that side, but I think it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow, too, so that'll be good. Did you ever get your repeater thing going again, or is it still offline?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a pretty wet spring, so it's going to be fun. I'm just going to bring in more millings and raise my driveway up another 8 to 12 inches and be done with it. And, no, I did not. I got to get the transmit radio to Sean so he can, I think the problem is what we narrowed it down to is the radio, transmit radio sets up at high power, so it's just getting too hot, right? There's no active cooling on it, so that thing's transmitting for anywhere from 1 minute to 5 minutes nonstop, right? If someone's having a QSO on a repeater like we are right now, that thing's transmitting every single time someone queues up. So it's just going to cook itself. So I'm thinking, I'm hoping that when he puts it on low power, like 5 watts or whatever, it's a non-issue and it'll run fine and it'll be back up. I did work on my antenna a tiny bit yesterday. I grounded it, at least the mast, and then I got my buddy tracking down the ground wire for the lightning arrestor, and then I'll at least have that peace of mind. And then I got to get back up on a ladder and straighten that thing out or lower it or something because it's, I was under it yesterday, and I don't think it got worse, probably just placebo, but it looks like it's leaning away from the house super bad, and it's just that top section.
KFA-SQN.
Yeah, I noticed that when I drive by, it looks like everything's good except for just the top section of it. Looks like it's leaning a little, but I didn't know if it was just my eyes or if it actually was.
KF8FQN.
KF8FQN, go ahead.
Hey, Roger. I was over hearing you guys on the radio. What city or town do you live in?
We live in Elmont. This is NADBF, and then you've got KTMR. We're talking about that repeater I was telling you about. It was online and operational, but we got to make some tweaks because the transmit radio was getting too hot.
All right, yeah, I heard you guys talking about Dryden, and yeah, it's literally like right across. It's like 5 miles, not even like 2 miles away from me. But yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think I what was it? KF8FQN. I think I talked to you on a 2-meter simplex a couple weeks ago.
Well, depends. Is your name Phil?
That's correct. I did talk to you. This is Wyatt, right?
Yes, it was. I swear. There was like coincidences. Like, first I heard you on simplex, then it was on that Facebook listing, and then now it's on here.
So Wyatt, I'm assuming you got your base station all set up
for right, she quit there.
I'll
head
over to Phil, though.
You guys are quick keying.
How about now? KCHKJO.
KFAS2N. I don't know if you guys are still there, but I think I heard Tom. KCHKJO, go ahead.
Hey, Wyatt, KCHKJO, and I think I heard Dakota out there. I heard Phil out there, and I think I heard Eric out there. How's everyone doing?
This is K8TMR. Doing good. How you doing? Name's Phil. Nice to meet you, Tom.
Hey, Phil. Where's Dakota at? I heard him in there, unless he's in the hole on Van Dyke as usual.
I will be in that hole in about 2 seconds here. Dakota, drop that radio in your truck in the morning if we can connect. I will do that.
Oh, now I got a phone call. Every time I get on the radio, I get a phone call. I'll be back, guys. Kilo Charlie 8. Kilo, you right out there.
FAF2N. Well, it was nice talking to you, Tom, and, see you later.
So, Wyatt, did you get your base station all set up?
FAF2N Friday. Yeah, I'm actually transmitting on it right now. LRLM 400 coax, and, yeah, I got my, base antenna, it's about 40 feet up right now. It's mounted on the very top of my, roof.
That's a decent...
That explains the area of the tip lights with Phil. Look at that, we all got nice antennas out here.
Yep, sorry, I think I doubled it with you, Dakota.
My bad. Yeah, let me know next time you guys are simplexing. I'll see what you guys sound like. I imagine we're all so close, it'll sound fine.
All right, well, I'll switch over to simplex. So I'm here to say this is KFAF2N, clear for now, and hopefully I hear you guys in simplex.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Wyatt. Good talking to you. Still there, Dakota, or are you in the hole?
FOB. I'm pretty far from where you're at right now, though. I'm at 26 and I'm 53, so I highly doubt I'll be able to hear you unless you're pushing out some serious power, but I've been flexed quite far with the antenna setup I have, so you never know. And Phil, you're at work, so I don't think I'll be able to simplex you until I'm in town.
Yeah, probably not. I'm just on a handheld too at work. But I did I was messing around a guy at work, I think I told you Nathan got his license last week or whatever. And we were playing around with 2 meter simplex. He's in Imlay City and we were able to reach no problem. Everything sounded good, so we should have no problem around at least around that area.
All right, sweet. Yeah, I think I need to get a... I'll probably order an antenna switch for the off chance that I want to sit down at my desk and use my radio as a base station instead of just having it running that repeater. But for the most part, that thing should be up and running as long as we get that situation under control. And pretty much everywhere out by us will be HD territory, which will be sweet because I've got plenty of them that don't get used. If you know any hams looking for... some HDs, I'm going to thin the herd a bit. I got probably one or two, maybe three that I'm going to move along because they just sit there and collect dust.
Yeah, I'll pass it on. I don't know if he's, well, I could have him or my cousin. I think my cousin just bought one, but I'm not sure. But Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to. When it was working, when you were testing it out that day, it was working real nice. And then, like you said, it just seemed like it kept timing out or overheating and shutting down. But it was nice and clear.
TFA-FQN.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if that little bit of a hum that we heard was either it was just overheating or if there was something else going on. So I have to change that down when it's back on the air. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll serve a good purpose and fill a nice void in our area. I think there's quite a few people that will actually be able to use that. Go ahead, Wyatt.
It's like you guys are going on Simplex, but I was a mistake. Taking that, but where's the repeater location gonna be? Because I want to see it.
Well, it's not a full blown repeater. It's a high profile node. It's gonna be on it's on a 34 foot mast with a Diamond V2000 for the antenna. So it's about 40 feet total ish. 42 feet to the top, I think. Fed with LMR 400, and it's going to be right at Dryden and Shoemaker, so it should be pretty darn easy for you to hit on low power.
Roger, well, I'm looking forward to that, and what do you mean node? Sorry, I haven't done my research on nodes. I can know what they are, and I've heard them plenty of times, but like, it's kind of like a all-star node where it's like voice over IP. Like, so when you talk on your actual radio, it like goes over the internet, or is it like actual linked repeaters?
This is a WAFU special, where it's two Motorola mobiles with a, what the hell would you call that? Like, that's just an interface cable, serial cable, that plugs into a Raspberry Pi that's running All-Star, connected on the back end to the the FBI network. So it's RF in and out of that radio for us, but then it'll be linked to all the other Central Michigan and FBI machines with voice over IP, if that makes sense. So it'll function just like all the other repeaters do right now. It just doesn't have the power or the height.
Dakota, are you in your truck or your wife? Are you on the bag radio still?
Yeah, I am on the bag radio.
Yeah, for the SQN, Friday. Well, so that still sounds like a fun project. You know, I will go to appear sometimes, and I'm going to the meeting in Lapeer today, actually. I always want to hunt for that repeater in Lapeer, the WAI, WALAP repeater, but it's, what, moved further up north or something, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to see that one up, too.
Hey, I'm going to jump off real quick. It's good talking to you guys. Maybe I'll get a chance to jump back on in a little bit. So, with K8TMR.
All right, Phil, if you're not running on a call, text me. Text me while you ask if I was on the bag radio. And, Wyatt, it'll be cool. It'll just be a convenience thing because there's not a lot of coverage in our area. I mean, there's repeaters we can hit, but we're on the fringe of all of them. So it'll just clean it up a bit, that's all. And there's a Mayville repeater, too, that you probably can hit from your house pretty easily. I don't remember. It's like 443-something, I think. I could be wrong. It's a Central Michigan machine, so if you go to their website, there's a Mayville repeater that I imagine you'll be able to get into.
I was testing out my kind of range on it. For a repeater, I hit a repeater all the way in Flint, like the very end of Flint, like further up north. It was about 30, 40 miles away. I should be able to hit that thing with ease. Like, right now I'm on the Romeo repeater, and that one I can hit with my HTs.
You you must have crazy good elevation where you're at, because I struggle with Romeo. Even, I mean, my base station gets in no problem, but it's not as clean as me going to Richmond, which is 18 and a half miles away from my house. Romeo's like 7 or 8, I think. And I just, Richmond sounds better for me. There just must be something between, I think Ford Proving Grounds is actually what's between Romeo and I, honestly.
Really? You're having trouble hitting the Romeo? Yeah. For me, the Romeo is about 14.2 miles away. That's a kind of a rough estimate, but, yeah, it's pretty, what's your, like, base and kind of, like, what's the height, like, at it, like, right now? Like, what's the height of it? Sorry.
With my base radio, it's fine. I don't have any issues. It just doesn't sound as good as Richmond does. But, like, with HTs, I have a really difficult time getting into Romeo from my house. The base antenna is up 42 feet. That's plenty good. It's just really the HTs that struggle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what I use to get in the Romeo is a that Baofeng AR-152. It's a 10-watt HT with a Aubrey 3-foot tape. So, That's kind of like what I use. I have to stand in a very certain spot out in my front yard. Kind of like, we have these power lines across our house, and I have to move like in front of them, and I come in like pretty clear. Not as loud, but I come in really clear.
Connected to CMN Network.
ADBF. That's how it is for me. I have to stand in certain spots of the house. If I'm outside, it's generally fine. Like, I can sit in my driveway and it works fine. It's not, I mean, you can definitely tell I'm on an HT. It doesn't sound like I do right now, but it works. I should be actually coming in crystal clear right now, because I can see the Romeo repeater from where I'm at on the highway.
Yes, I asked you on Friday. Well, no expert, but you're coming in really clear. I have a question. Have you heard of the ICOM 705, the IC705? I got a book from the library up in Emily, and it's called Ham Radio for Dummies. I'm just reading it because I thought it was pretty cool. But have you heard of that, the IC705?
That is actually what I use as my base radio. UHF amp for it, a VHF amp for it, and then I have HF wire in the yard. I like that radio so much I bought it twice. I had it once before and sold it and regretted it and bought it again. It's a pretty penny. The accessories are expensive, but I absolutely love the thing. I did the USB-C board upgrade because it comes with a micro USB-C port on it, which is just antiquated at this point. So I swapped it out with a USB-C board and put it in a POV cage, and I use that for pretty much 100% of my radio playing at home or portable, other than, you know, obviously in the truck.
Well, you're pretty lucky. Yeah, see down here, it's, what is it? Yeah, it's like dual triple band, right? Yes, yeah, UHF, VHF, and, HF, but yeah, well, I know it's radio I want to save up for if I can. I mean, that's awesome. I get HF and all those combined. I know it's like a grand or something, or like $1,400. But wait, does it do like other modes? Like on here, it has lower sideband, upper sideband, and FM.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're not cheap. The first one I bought, it was $13.49, and I thought that was crazy. Because keep in mind, this is a QRP radio, so on battery, it's only 5 watts. And on external power, it's only 10 watts. And then when I bought my second one, they jacked the price up $150. It was $1,500. But it does, it's an all-mode radio. So it does D-Star, it does upper sideband, lower sideband, HF, you know, 6 through... No, yeah. Yeah, it does 6 through 160, and then it'll do, you know, all the digital stuff, too. It's got a wireless access point built into it, so there's actually an app on your phone. It's not by ICOM. It's like SDR control or something, I think. It's like $30 on the App Store, but you can remotely control your 705 with your phone if you set up the Wi-Fi on it. I mean, there's literally anything you can think of you can do with that radio. It's just, you got to keep in mind, it is a QRP radio, and I've done a lot of POTO with a 705 and had a lot of success with it, but it is definitely a challenge, and you have to make sure your stuff is set up correctly, especially if you're doing sideband, because you're only pumping out 5 to 10 watts.
Yeah, I was just wondering, but, I don't know, it looks like at least 25 watts, I still have my eyes on that thing. That thing is awesome. I wanted to get a satellite, it's a Russian CubeSat for amateur radio. I was trying to hear the telemetry on it, but it was lower sideband, so it sounded pretty bad on my FM radio. How big is it? Is it like one of those big old like clunky ham radios that you see at like see on like a desktop or something, or is it just like a kind of like portable one?
It's ultra-portable. There's smaller ones, there's lighter ones, there's bigger ones, but it's designed to be a field radio. It, like I said, it runs on batteries, and it takes the same batteries as ICOM ID52 and ID50, so you can hot-swap those. It's got a DC pin and a USB port for charging, so I run mine on a little 4.5-amp BioNO in the field to get 10 watts, and that'll last me pretty much 4 or 5 hours if it needs to. In a POV cage, so it's got a full enclosure on it, and it's got this, like, acrylic cover for the screen. It'll fit in a, if you go on Amazon, it's called a Maxpedition water bottle pouch. That's what I used to do POTA in with mine. So I would put the radio in that, and I'd have a couple small side pouches, and it would have my battery, my little wire antenna, and, like, everything I needed to go do an activation. So super-duper small. It fits on my desk on a little Manfrotto desktop tripod. And absolutely love the thing. I was playing with it this weekend, actually. They're super expensive, and they're not great at any one thing. So if it's, I wouldn't recommend it as a first HF radio, because if you truly want to get into HF, QRP is super frustrating if you don't have good setups, which that's not to say you can't have a good setup for very, very inexpensive. It's just 100 watts gets you a lot farther.
Yeah, that's what I use on a remote ham radio. Stations like pushing 100 watts. I contacted my friend in FRS. I did it one time on 25 watts, but I found it out with a 2-watt limit, so I run low on it. I think so. My low is like what, 5-3 watts maybe? I'll have to look. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the ICOM thing right now, and, yeah, it's definitely small. I thought it was, like, a, bigger radio, but, yeah, no, it's not. It kind of looks like the, forgot the brand name, it's a X6200, but yeah, it's a small little radio, I didn't know that. It's still even with that QRP and stuff, I would still like to have it just for emergency kits and doing some POTA. I've never done POTA, so I've been wanting to do that for a while. I'm going to try POTA on this radio. It's not like anything like HF, but maybe I could contact somebody on VHF, UHF. I just need to find a power source or a battery pack for this Anytone.
I would look on Amazon at a company called EcoPower. They're pretty inexpensive LiFePO batteries. You can get a 20-amp-hour for, I think they're $49 to $50, or I'm sorry, $49 to $60. They have like these deals and sales and stuff. It's like an orange battery. The only thing you'll have to figure out is adapting it to the radio, which isn't hard. Do some homework on Anderson power poles. Kind of the standard in ham radio for 12-volt power. So the nice thing about those is all my batteries have those, so I can, and all my radios have those connectors and my power supplies. So no matter what battery, radio, power supply, it's all interchangeable. So keep that in mind. And then, yeah, POTA on UHF VHF is going to be tough. It's more of like a summits on the air kind of thing where there's, you know, a lot of people are monitoring and you're getting out super far. Around here, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I don't know many people that sit and monitor 2 meter. So there might be a challenge there, but that's the beauty of radio. Everything's, you know, nothing super easy, and it's kind of fun to try new things and tinker. So, you know, more power to you. Give it a shot. I don't know of any parks on Bald Mountain, but that's not exactly right around the corner. But when I used to live in our radio, I would go to Wessel and activate that all the time, and it was awesome.
All right, yeah. Well, it's more of a challenge. It's more fun, I guess. It'd be more rewarding. Yeah, for the HF, I'm just thinking about it. I have my eyes more than a D90. That's what I've been wanting for a while. I just thought the icon was pretty cool because it's, what, triple band. But I gotta go. I gotta help my dad unload some stuff from our truck. So, 73 to you, and I heard KC8KDL calling. So I hand it over to him, and this is KF8F2N 73 to all. You guys have a good day and clear.
All right, Wyatt, 73, good talking to you. Go ahead, Tom. Hey, DDF, other 3.
KF8KDL, anybody around for a radio check?
I didn't catch the call, but I got you in there. You sound pretty good.
Okay. Thank you. The call is Whiskey Bravo 8, Bravo Hotel November. The handle is 7, Sierra Echo Victor India Mike, in Dearborn Heights for the portable.
All right. Well, yeah, you sound good. You're in there. I'm assuming you're coming on the LTS machine because it's beeping. But, yeah, you're in clear.
Thank you so much. I didn't get your call sign or name.
Yeah, my apologies. My name's Dakota. November 8, Delta, Bravo, Foxtrot.
Okay. Thanks, Dakota. I'll catch you around here. There seems to be a really active repeater. Yeah, I'm on LTS, like you said. Delta, I'm sorry, one more time. November 8, Delta, Foxtrot.
Yeah, this repeater system is usually hopping in the morning. There's a drive time of around 6:45 to 7:30. There's usually plenty of activity, and then afternoon as well, and then throughout the weekend. So you got November 8, Delta, Bravo, Foxtrot. Bravo, Foxtrot.
Thanks, Dakota. Catch you around again. Thanks for the scoop. WBADHN.
Anytime. Look forward to hearing you out here. I'll catch you later. NAPDF. Sounds like you scared Tom, huh? He was out here, wasn't he?
Yeah, he threw out his call. Nobody picked him up. Scared him off.
Maybe he got another phone call.
Yeah, other radio or something.
That's true. He is Inspector Gadget and has like 5 antennas on his hand. I am pulling in the driveway here, so I am going to disappear. But I'll be out here in a minute. Catch you later.
Yeah, I've only got 2 antennas right now. I haven't put the DMR radio back in with the new car, so gotta get on the ABA way.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, landscape, Peter. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Just leaving work. It was a long day.
Yep, yeah, that's about halfway home right now. There was a nice accident at 75 and Dixie Highway there. Somebody hauling a truck on a trailer just tipped it over or something. They had down to one lane.
Okay, that shouldn't affect my ride home. I get off at Square Lake Road. That's plenty early. Is it northbound or southbound?
It was northbound.
CNN Network.
I don't know. They had the tow truck there, so it might be clearing anyway. So, nice delay there. Started backing up about exit 91, so about 2 miles of backup.
Oh yeah, especially this time of day. So is that the drive you do every day?
I do about 3 days a week now, but they want it to come in 5 days a week, coming after the end of the month. We'll see how that works out. Gotta get the kids from the bus stop every Wednesday and every other Friday. I don't know how that's going to work in Boston. Kind of like, I don't really see why you have to be in your 5 days a week, and as long as you're getting your job done, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's good. I like what I'm doing right now. I pretty much set my own hours. I tell them when I'm coming in. It works out nice.
Yeah, what do you... Working for spending money, come in when I want to and leave when I want to. the nice semi-retired jobs.
Yeah, and the nice thing is they say, basically, if you don't like it, I quit. So, they go, oh, no, I wouldn't do that, but... they are very accommodating. They love what I'm doing for them, and they try to keep me happy.
Yeah. That's when you get me angry, then it's not worth it anymore. See you later.
Okay. I love driving. You know, they made this I-75. I don't know if you go in this part, you know, with that's all HOV lanes, and nobody, I mean, about 99% of the people using it are in violation. I don't even understand why it's even there.
Yeah, that's, I don't know when they decided they were making those HOVs. The silliest thing, like you paid all that money for lanes, and you're gonna, you know, block people from using them. But, I don't know. The sheriff, probably about 6 months ago now, he put out an article saying they don't have the manpower to police it. So that was kind of, you know. Go ahead and use it. We don't care. We're not going to bust you for it because we don't have the manpower to police it.
Yep, that's how it is here. I I did see once where they were doing tag team, pulling people over. I think it was, it wasn't the sheriff, I think it was the Troy police who were doing it. Must have needed more revenue, but yeah, I mean, I know they had to put it in there for federal money to get the expressway built, but I wonder if there's a time limit on that and they can just take it out and, really, you know, just repaint everything, take it out. Yeah, I don't know. I personally, I don't really see the point of the HOV. Like, it's not going to encourage people to carpool. Not here, at least. Maybe somewhere worse, but Michigan people like their cars. No, it just makes no sense for Detroit. It's almost everybody's an individual driver. This town was built on highways and roads and people, you know, the way the workplace is. I mean, if you were in a major like New York City or somewhere like that, I could see it, you know, but anyways, you know, it's a big deal out in California, too. They have lots of them, and I guess they do enforce them out there, but I still see some people ignoring the restrictions, but very few, actually. It's surprising how few.
Yeah, there's not really a good way to automate that. You can't prove that there's not somebody in the back seat or, you know, a kid back there. You know, I thought it was pretty silly when they decided to do that. Like, those lanes were kind of already, like, they were prepped for it most of the way, I believe. Like, there was, like, a really wide shoulder on it, so I don't know what they did other than repave it and throw some signs at it.
Well, before the HOV was actually effective, they had to pass a new law, because we have no law in Michigan for that, or state, no statute. So they just made a really huge shoulder, you know, when they first built it. And then once they got the permission to do it, then they just repainted it. And the HOV lane is actually narrower than the other lanes, probably by a couple feet.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice. I don't go that way that often. I think it was like the second or third time I went through there, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that they were, it was only like during rush hour, like it was after a certain time or on the weekends, you could use them no matter what. So I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was just during the commute times.
Yep, that's right, and motorcycles anytime. So that's another thing to look at the fine print. It's 6 to 9 in the morning, 3 to 6 in the evening. Otherwise, it's just like any other freeway. I guess out in 96 way, they're experimenting with these, using the shoulder as a lane with arrows and X's, with opening and closing the lanes. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think that's on US 23, I think, or maybe it might be M14, or I know I hit it when I go to the proving grounds, so I think it's either 23 or M14 maybe, but yeah, I've been through there, and that's another weird one, and they can change the speed limit on the fly, too, so, I mean, that's kind of an interesting one, too, so But it's kind of nice because if there's an accident or something, they can kind of start shutting lanes down early to kind of direct traffic out of the accident, you know.
Yeah, KPR. They keep experimenting with stuff. The one that scares me, though, is, they're trying to get authorization to have cameras in work zones, and they say, oh, it's only for work zones. Well, you know how that works in Michigan. Anytime they bring in anything that it's only this, it's only that,
before you know it, it's everywhere and permanent.
Hey, I lived in Iowa where they had the cameras, and you know, people find out where they are real quick. So I could see work zones working because, you know, they can move them around, and you know, you won't know where they are. But when they're permanently mounted and stuff like that, people figure out where they are real quick. And in Iowa, where we're at, they put them on kind of north side of town and the south side of town, on both sides of the freeway, and people would just slow down, go under the camera, and as soon as they're out of range, speed right back up.
Yeah, well, I remember years ago in Phoenix, so they had this road around Phoenix called the Loop, I guess, and they had all these camera boxes, and then you never knew where they came, which cameras were actually live, or which boxes were live. They would move them around. So, and you know, if you were going like 1 mile an hour over, you get a ticket in the mail. And people finally got had enough of that, and they actually got a ballot issue to get them outlawed, and it went through.
Yeah, that's that would be one way to get them to work. Yeah, that's what you need is the variability, because people figure out where they are, and you know, it was really what it came down to. You know, you put up the system, and you got to pay the company to manage it, right? So they issue all the tickets, and you put it up, you get all the money, because then people aren't realizing it's there. Once they figure out it's there, then you just slowly get this taper off to where it's no longer worth paying the management company to pay for it. So, but yeah, right now they had all the permanent ones, and they had one that was a red Jeep Grand Cherokee, and they had like a picture on their website, on the police department's website. And they would move that around and, you know, park in different spots and, you know, run a mobile unit like that. But people would knew that too. You'd see a red Jeep Cherokee parked on the side of the road, and you'd slow down. It really kind of just made it not profitable.
Yeah, well, that's a little pet peeve of mine. It's all about the money. It has nothing to do with safety or keeping people in line. It's about the revenue. These companies make huge amounts of money off of it. The biggest scam is these red light cameras, or these left turn cameras. You know, normally they've done studies that said, you know, if you want to prevent more accidents at left turns, just extend the left turn arrow 1 second, reduces incidents by something like 70-80%. But when they go and they put these red light camera things in there, they actually have, in the contract, they actually have them shorten the left turn arrow so they can catch more people.
Is that the yellow time? I can see that where trying to get you on the pink light. It's all about the revenue, and the way they did it was they wouldn't give points because they wouldn't because you don't get the ID of the driver, you know, so it would just go to the vehicle, so you get the ticket, and it would only be money. It wouldn't even be points in your license.
Yeah, well, that's the other big scam going around. You know, they pull you over almost all the time now. If you get pulled over for speeding, they will, some of the times they don't even ask you to do it. They automatically write it for a non-moving violation, and which usually costs more, but you don't get points.
But the real kicker is if it's a moving violation, at least in Michigan, I think the state gets like half the fees. If it's a non-moving violation, the community gets to keep it all.
Yeah, and you're happy to not pay the non-moving, but you're happy to pay the non-moving violation because there's no points. So, that's a win-win for everybody. I think I've had two tickets so far, and both of them, were non-moving. One of them was, I literally wasn't moving, but the other one, it was a big traffic jam, and I had to make a right-hand turn, and I went on the shoulder really a little bit. I like waited through most of the traffic jam and just went on the shoulder for, like, clipped the corner, and they pulled me over for it and gave me the violation.
Wow, that's really tight. Ridiculous. Anyways, I remember a long time ago my daughter got a ticket and went to court with her, and they, we were going to try to fight it, and they pulled it off to the side. They pulled us off to the side and said, look, we can make a deal for you. We'll change it to a non-moving violation, blah, blah, blah. And we agreed to that, and so you say if you do that in the court. Now they just do it in the police car. I used to work over in Warren, and there was this very industrial street, very wide, no houses, just all industrial part, things. And the speed limit was 25, and when I first started working there, I didn't realize it. And I was going 35. And they just walked up to me and said, here, I wrote it for a non-moving violation. That's it. They didn't even ask.
My ex-wife, she got a ticket, I think it was, it would have been after COVID because they were doing Zoom court. And, she logged on and they put like, 20 people in the one breakout room and said, anybody that wants to go fight their ticket, you can, we can do that, or you can, pay this non-moving violation. They got not get any points in your license. It's like, yeah, I'll do that.
Really? They did it in mass. Wow. All right. There you go. All right, I'm just about home. So, catch you later. Nice ride with you, Lance, and drive safe.
I got about 5 minutes myself. So, nice chat with you. 7-3. This is ADLine.
WATD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Radio check, QLFLV. FLY, radio check.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KCA. KJO.
K-J-O. K-C-A-K-J-O. N-A-C-Z-R. K-C-A. K-J-O. K-C-A-K-J-O. N-A-C-Z-R.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay, is there BTL Mobile?
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Somebody need a radio check.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KE4 is ZYQ on frequency. Anybody awake this evening? Negative contact, KE4 ZYQ clear.